This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah wa salatu wa salamu ala abdillahi wa rasulihi Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. My brothers, my sisters, you and I know that we've been through a difficult patch. Most of us have lost people we know. May Allah grant them Jannah. Some have lost family members close to them. May Allah grant them Jannah. Many have been affected in a huge way in their health or in their wealth, in their income, in their jobs, in their relationships as well. And it's been very challenging. However, if we look back in history, we will find that there have been challenges every year of a different nature. As believers, we always say that the Almighty has created us to test us. I'm sure you've heard that before, right? As Muslims, أَحَسِبَ النَّاسُ أَن يُتْرَكُوا أَن يَقُولُوا آمَنَّا وَهُمْ لَا يُفْتَنُونَ. Allah says in Surah Al-Ankabut, do people think that it's sufficient for them to say we are believers and then they won't be tested? What that means is, when you say you're a believer, do you really think that that means you're just going to sail through everything and everything's going to be okay and everything's going to be beautiful and there are going to be no challenges and tests? In fact, it's the other way around. When you say you're a believer, you've just entered territory to be tested. Have you ever thought of that? Allah speaks about it. وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ. We will definitely test every single one of you. In what way? In so many different ways, with a bit of anxiety and fear, with loss of produce, loss of wealth, loss of life, of those who are beloved unto you, and so on. Allah says, we will test your faith when you declare that you believe, in order to differentiate between those who are truthful and those who are not. Go back to the prophets from the very beginning, all the way down to the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. And this includes the Prophet Abraham, Ibrahim, may peace be upon him. The Prophet Moses, Musa, may peace be upon him, alayhi salam. The Prophet Jesus, may peace be upon him. The Prophet Muhammad, may peace be upon him. The Prophet Noah, from the very beginning, may peace be upon him. They faced challenge upon challenge, subhanallah. Yet they were the closest unto Allah. So Allah says, we're going to test you in order to distinguish who is truthful. You say you believe in the Almighty. Now that you're a believer, you've just enrolled in the college. When you enroll in the college, you're going to be tested every so often. And each time you pass a test, you graduate to a level that is more difficult than the previous one. What about those on the streets who haven't enrolled? Well, they may not face that many challenges because they're not even in the school, subhanallah. I wouldn't go to the door of or to the gates of the school and call people from the members of the public, come in, we're having O-levels here, come and attempt it, come and write it. It doesn't happen. Well, Allah Almighty tells us that we will test you. And this evening, I want to go through a few examples that might make it easier for us to understand what's going through or what we're going through in our lives. Last night I spoke about the challenges of the mother of Moses, may peace be upon him, when she was faced with the situation at the time. And I spoke about a few other examples, but this evening I want to tell you about the challenge of the mother of the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. Amina binti Wahab, that was her name. His father was Abdullah ibn Abdul Muttalib. When she was expecting, mashallah, just picture a couple, mashallah, married. And thereafter, the wife is expecting, mashallah, their first child. And suddenly, something happens and he passes away. Who? The husband. Her husband passed away. She was expecting. Now, imagine the hardship of a woman who's married, newly married, we should say, or we could say, and she's expecting, the excitement of the expectation, or the pregnancy, should I say, and thereafter, here's this man who is the father of the child in the womb, and the husband, loving man, amazing man, beautiful individual, and he passes on. Imagine what she must have gone through as a woman at the time. Yet she was chosen to bear the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, in our belief, afdalul khalqi wa akramur rusuli, the most noble of all prophets, the final of all the messengers, and the greatest of the creation of the Almighty. And yet, his father passed on before he was born. Everyone speaks about it from the angle of him being an orphan. Today, I'm speaking about it from the angle of her being a widow. Who was that? The mother of whom? No ordinary person. And that's why we say, in the absence of one parent, perhaps the child, if taken care of and provided for and counseled in the correct direction, would surpass those who may have had both parents. Example of it is with Muhammad, may peace be upon him. Subhanallah. أَلَمْ يَجِدْكَ يَتِيمًا فَآوَى. Did we not find you an orphan? Were you not an orphan? Where did you get to? Subhanallah. So if you have a parent missing in your life, be it through death or whatever else it may be, out of your control, may Allah make it easy for you and comfort you. And may Allah Almighty grant you success upon success. Be determined. Continue going. Don't worry. We're on earth. In actual fact, we're alone. Allah gives us opportunity to interact with those whom we call my family, but not always. Those whom we call my parents, but not always. My siblings, not always. So who is with me? The Almighty is always with you. Always. Don't lose hope. And guess what? Reach out to people in a similar situation and find comfort. Subhanallah. That's why you have organizations and clubs and people who gather a group of friends. Nowadays you have perhaps pages online that are dedicated to a specific cause. If you go back to how and why it was founded, a lot of the times it's someone who suffered in a similar way, who then decided, let me reach out to others, let me help the others. Why help others? Because the Almighty says, if you help others, you will be helped. When you want help, help others and see how the Almighty helps you. But how can I help others when I need that help? By you helping them, you will be automatically helped in ways you cannot imagine. With whatever you can provide, even if it is a basic word of encouragement. Encourage people. Talk to them. Give them hope. Let them feel the positivity. I'm repeating today what I've said in the last few days. A verse you may have heard many times. وَإِن تَعُدُّوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا. Allah says it more than once in the Quran. If you are to try and count the gifts of Allah, you will never be able to count them all. Have you heard that verse before? Come on, answer me. Yes, if you try to count the gifts of Allah upon you, you won't be able to count them all. On the flip side of it, if you try to count what Allah has not given you, you will definitely be able to count that. You thought of it? Subhanallah. That puts things into a different light, right? But we concentrate on the issues and the problems and the hardship as though We don't have any gifts, but Allah guarantees you, try to count the gifts, you won't manage. You won't ever be able to count the gifts of Allah upon you and your folks and your family and whoever else, even in the midst of disaster. You won't be able to count the favors of Allah upon you ever, 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 because they are way beyond your ability to count. Subhanallah. But if you were to look at the things Allah did not give you, or the challenges, you can count them. I have a problem with this person or that person. I have this challenge. I have that. You can count 10 things and say, that's my life come to an end. But there are a billion things that Allah's given you, subhanallah, that you've taken for granted simply because you haven't ever tried, subhanallah, to count, or you don't appreciate. Do you know, no matter what challenge you're facing, and no matter how tough your life is, there are people who would desperately want to be in your place. Come on, thank Allah. Why is it we all complain? Yes, we do have challenges. Have faith. Have faith. Life is all about being tested. You passed one, you're going to have to pass the other. You know, I have a little water pick. It's a jet of water in a little container with a battery, and it releases a jet into your teeth in order to clean it. One of my friends was with me a few days ago and he dropped it. And the top of it broke. And I said, Alhamdulillah, I thank Allah. He said, what do you mean? I said, I thank Allah it broke, man. He said, what do you mean? I said, my brother, that's a minor, minor, minor thing. And Allah was going to test me today. And I'm so happy it's this thing here. Come on, man. Imagine if someone says, I'm going to test you today. You're waiting for it, waiting for it, waiting for it, waiting for it. Your phone drops. The screen didn't crack. Nothing happened. That was your test. You're going to get angry and shout the person. Or a glass broke, by the way. Sorry, Brother Farhan. A glass broke, by the way, here. Your limbs are fine. Your eyes are okay. Your belongings are all safe. What should you say? Should you get angry? Why did you break the glass? And the world comes to an end because a glass broke. And Allah says, hang on. We could have broken your limbs, man. We didn't do that. So it's putting things into perspective. Take a look at a problem. A believer's taught, no matter what you go through, tell yourself it could have been worse. No matter what it is. That's Allah. So I told a brother, I said, it's a minor thing. I said, I have a habit of thanking Allah when something happens that's manageable. And I tell Allah, oh Allah, I thank you for this because it was such a beautiful test. Yes, there was negativity perhaps, but I aced it, man. Subhanallah. Don't test me with something too difficult for me to pass. When you thank Allah for a test, guess what? The next test shall be, inshallah, easier. Because He says that in the Quran. لَإِن شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ If you're going to show gratitude, we will increase you in goodness. So show gratitude. I don't think it's easy for a human being to show gratitude in the face of negativity by realizing how positive the negative actually was, as compared to something that could have been in your life that would have really affected you in a bad way. So the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, his mother lost her husband. She became a widow. The challenges she faced, only Allah knows. Society, community. She had to give birth to this child. The husband already passed away. She was a widow. The child was born an orphan. Born. The father had already predeceased. The birth of this child, meaning before the child was born, the father was gone. And so she had to look after the child. They decided, you know what? We will send the child, as per the custom of this particular place, to one of the outlying areas known as Badiyatu Bani Sa'ad, with one of the nurses. They had a tradition and a culture there. A lot of women, when they read about it, they wished we still had it. Imagine giving your newborn child away to be suckled and to be taken care of, and you bring them back when they're okay. And they, you know, wow. With my children, mashallah, we've had sleepless nights from day one. That's why we're called dad. That's why you're called mom, because sleep will be different from today. But imagine that tradition. Wow. So mashallah, tabarakallah. But they faced so many challenges, one upon the other. And then the mother passes away when he was only 6 years old. Imagine, 6 years old. Mother passed away. Now you're being moved from your the only parent, the single parent there, and you're being moved to whoever else can take care of you because times are challenging. So the grandfather says, don't worry, I look after him. Wow. So he's being looked after, not by the grandma. Her name's not mentioned there. It's the grandfather. And he took his grandchild with. What was his name? Abdul Muttalib. And he's looking after. 2 years later, he passes on. Imagine the best of creation, the most noble of all prophets of Allah. And that was the beginning. Come on, you and I. The majority of us are more fortunate than that, in that sense. But the point is, don't despair. If you've had a similar upbringing or similar scenarios or situations, you've lost loved ones, you've lost family members, there is the non-existence of a parent or both parents, for whatever reason it may be, it's not the end of the world. Perhaps Allah has chosen you to succeed beyond the others, as was the case of the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. But when we lose hope, then we affect ourselves negatively. When we look at things and think that's the end of everything, we affect ourselves negatively. Allah Almighty tells us, we will test you. And each time you pass the test, you got to go to a bigger test. You know, when you go to the gym, for example, first time you go, mashallah, and you're doing your reps, the next day what happens? Your body is in pain. They say no pain, no gain. You've heard that, mashallah. Your body is in pain. You might have blisters and calluses depending on what you lifted and where you swung, right? And then they tell you, come back. You go back the next day and the next day. The first few weeks are the most difficult, but trust me, if you get used to that 45 minutes of sweating every single day, male or female, your life will change. Did you hear what I just said? And I mean it, totally. You're feeling sad and depressed and whatever else, together with your faith and conviction and everything else, physically sort yourself out. And be serious and sweat. No pain, no gain. Remember that and go for it. And go again. And go again. 2 weeks, 3 weeks, you become addicted. Do you know that? You become it. And you enjoy it. It changes your mindset. You look forward to something. My sisters, I mean what I'm saying. My brothers, I've seen it. Didn't you see us starting Ramadan with a bang? Mashallah. Sorry, that's just about the advertising what's about to happen in Ramadan on Iman channel. But yes, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us goodness. We have to do something about it. Don't despair. Your challenges are never going to end. They'll end with death because you're in the college. You're going to be tested. Have you not thought of it? Allah says, "Inna Allah idha ahabba 'abdan ibtala." When Allah loves a slave or a worshipper, he tests him. You have a test. Muhammad, peace be upon him, was tested from a young age. Subhanallah. Imagine, he was known as As-Sadiqul Amin. History books have that recorded. He was known as the most truthful, the most trustworthy. But the day he came up and said, "Oh my people, worship he who made you. And that's it. No one else." They told him, "You're a liar. You were always a liar." Come on. Come on. Imagine how he must have felt. All he was saying is, "Worship he who made you alone. Not even me. No, nothing besides he who made you." Thereafter, they persecuted not only him, but those who followed him. What happened? they continued to be positive. I, turning the pages of the biography of the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, he never swore even his enemies. He never used abusive language against even those who hated him. He always had hope that perhaps the Almighty might guide this person. And it did happen in a lot of cases. Every time the enemies wanted to talk to him about something, he quickly went. Because in his mind and heart, he thought perhaps they might ask me a question, I may respond and they may accept what I'm saying. Amazing, subhanallah. And then Allah Almighty revealed verses. Asallahu an yaj'ala baynakum wa bayna alladhina 'adaytum minhum mawadda wallahu qadir. Allah is able to create a deep love between you and the one who hates you right now. Because Allah is all able, all capable. So Allah is able to create a deep love between you and the one who hates you right now in the near future. Look at Khalid ibn al-Walid. I'm sure you might have heard his name if you've read the seerah or the life of the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. He was a warrior. He belonged to the people of Quraysh. He fought against the Muslims. He committed murder against the Muslims. And one day, in Uhud, when the Muslims were about to win, he saw that some of them are not on that hillock. He decided to come from the back and they sandwiched the Muslims, resulting in losses. Sometime later in Medina, here is the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, as positive as he was. As positive as he was. He calls the brother of Khalid. His name was Al-Walid. So Al-Walid, same name as a father. I think we don't really have that tradition anymore, right? To name your son your name, you know? But it's there. Al-Walid ibn Al-Walid, he says, where is Khalid? Where is Khalid? So he was explaining to the Prophet, peace be upon him, where Khalid is, you know? Khalid is in Mecca, and so on. The Prophet says, Ya'ti bihi Allahu. Allah will bring him. Allah will bring him. Why will Allah bring him? Because ma mithlu Khalidin yajhalu al-Islama. A man as intelligent as Khalid, as sharp as that man, cannot be ignorant of the fact that Islam is the truth. He can't be. That's what the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, said. This intelligent man, extremely intelligent, he will realize the only thing this man is calling towards is to worship He who made you alone, nothing else. To be disciplined, high level of morals and values, to reach out not just to people of all kinds, but to animals and to the rest of the creatures of the Almighty. Like I always say, if you have a connection with the Almighty who made you, and if you think you have that connection or the piety, a sign of it is, you respect everything that He has made. And what has He made? And who has He made? He's made those you like, those you don't like, those who look like you, those who don't look like you, those who think like you, those who don't think like you. He's made the other animals, those. The other day someone asked me about pigs. I say we don't consume them, but we respect all animals. Subhanallah. You see? Doesn't mean you see a pig, you start throwing stones. Pig. No way. Not at all. It's a pig. It's a creature of Allah. You don't consume it, but you don't be horrible to an animal. A man quenched the thirst of a dog. He was given forgiveness and paradise. I'm sure you've heard that. It was a dog. Subhanallah. And a dog is a word. Depending on how you say it, it could mean different things. I mean, if you say dog, that's a swear word. But if you say doggy, it could mean something else, you know. That's Allah. He's created an animal. Imagine, it can be used in this way or that way. Some love the dogs, and some, subhanAllah, a lot of the Muslims, you see a dog, they're on the other side of the road. But that's not how it should be, subhanAllah. But my brothers and sisters, you claim a link with the maker of what? Of what? Of entire creation, not just you. Someone seated next to you today, who are they? They're made by the one you are trying to impress with your worship. So treat them well, because they're also made by the same maker. Come on. You can't do that, no matter who they are. If you really claim, and this is why we say, those who promote hatred against others to the degree that they want to harm them can never claim closeness to the maker, because the maker's the one who made them. Come on. Do you see? It's logic. It's simple. It's a teaching of the Prophet, peace be upon him. Irhamu man fil ardi yarhamkum man fis sama. Have mercy upon those on earth, and the one in the skies will have mercy on you, meaning Allah Almighty. You want mercy? Show mercy. The Prophet, peace be upon him, says, Man la yarham la yurham. Arabic, beautiful language. Whoever doesn't show mercy will not be shown mercy. Straight. Show mercy. You want mercy? Help. You want to be helped? كَانَ اللَّهُ فِي عَوْنِ الْعَبْدِ مَا كَانَ الْعَبْدُ فِي عَوْنِ أَخِيهِ. Allah will continue to assist a slave for as long as that slave is engaged in assisting another. Didn't I tell you moments ago? You want to be helped? Help others. People say, but how? I'm so depressed. Do you know what? Pick up the pieces. Keep praising Allah. Worship the Almighty. Try and develop a circle around you of people who really care. But try and understand that the Almighty will never let you down. He does things to you knowing that it's better for you. Better for you. You lost something, like I said, could have been worse. You don't have children. While you are trying everything, while you are trying to have kids, may Allah bless those who don't have children with children. While you are trying everything, and you should be trying, and you should be convinced the Almighty is going to listen to your prayer. If still it doesn't happen, do not despair. How many have children and they say, I wish I didn't have children. My children are the source of my depression and suicidal thoughts. So Allah says, we saved you from that, but you don't know. Perhaps you'd have had a child. You love the child. And this is why I say, my brothers, my sisters, take care of your parents no matter how difficult it is. Take care of them, respect them, and be kind to them. Notice I didn't say obey them. Take care of them, respect them, and be kind to them. Obey them in that which is reasonable. That which is unreasonable, excuse them. The Almighty comes first and justice comes first. Always remember that. People go wrong because they don't know where to draw the line. That's my mother. I can replace my mother. I can't replace my mother. I can replace you. Have you heard that? That's what they say. That's my mother. Don't blackmail me with that statement. I know it's your mother. And I love your mother. But where I am wrong, please tell me. And where she is wrong, don't throw it in my face by saying that's your mother. Please help me again to explain. Or respectfully and kindly let her know, Mom, as much as heaven lies in your or at your service, I'd like to let you know that this is wrong. Come on. The Prophet Abraham told his father, listen, you're totally wrong, man. You've got it wrong. He didn't say, that's my father. He says, oh, my father, you don't have knowledge that I have. I'm asking you to worship the maker or the Lord of the worlds, and you're worshiping these things. Don't do that. If he had the same ideology that some have to say, your father, your mother, don't tell them a thing, he wouldn't be able to correct them. They are human beings. Correct them, but respectfully and kindly. Don't abuse, don't scream at, don't shout at, don't swear using vulgar language. All of that is unacceptable. Be as kind as you can, with a smile on your face, telling whoever is wrong that, you know what? Unfortunately, I'd love to have said you're right, but this time you're not. Amazing. May Allah make it easy for all of us. So my brothers and sisters, the tests that the Almighty throws in our direction, I was saying you may have a problem, an issue. Something goes wrong, but you don't realize the Almighty is saving you from something massive, perhaps. You see, he caused the death of a child. It's mentioned in Surah Al-Kahf, without going into the detail of how it happened. But he says, we wanted this child to pass away at a young age because if this child was given life beyond a certain age, the child would have been the source of distress for his parents. So we caused the death of the child early. Now, if you and I lose a child, may Allah protect us all. It's not easy. Nobody can comfort one who has lost their own child besides Allah. In fact, they won't even understand what you're going through. But part of the comfort is when you believe in Allah, He gave you the child in the first place. Look at the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. He lost not one child, not two children, but all of his children in his lifetime besides one. Some of them in infancy, some of them in adulthood. So if you've lost a child, you need to realize perhaps Allah knew that was the right time for the child to go. They went away while you loved them, you really adored them, you looking forward to meeting them in the hereafter and so on. And don't despair, you have to meet with them later on. It's impossible for us to just part ways and I'm never going to see you again. Come on. I might not be able to talk to you, but if we make it the other side where time is no longer, we can sit and have a good chat, mashallah. I don't know if there'll be saffron on the other side, though. And very unfortunately, I've got to tell you, it's not going to be there. But there'll be something better, inshallah. That having been said, I think the food tonight's going to be really, really amazing, mashallah. I've been told about it. I say, I'm not such a food person, but alhamdulillah, no problem. We still will enjoy good food, inshallah. We thank Allah. So the point being raised, when you go through hardship, say we were talking about losing a child, do you know that Allah knows the exact time? Imagine, Allah says, we want to replace, that's the verse in Surah Al-Kahf, we wanted to replace for these good parents, that child with a child who had a better, more amazing future. Because Allah knows. You might wonder how. Well, I want to tell you something. Allah is the creator. His knowledge encompasses everything. In the Arabic language, when we're taught about the knowledge of Allah, we're taught the following statement. يَعْلَمُ مَا كَانَ وَمَا يَكُونُ وَمَا لَمْ يَكُنْ إِذَا كَانَ كَيْفَ يَكُونُ. Did you hear that? يَعْلَمُ مَا كَانَ وَمَا يَكُونُ وَمَا لَمْ يَكُنْ إِذَا كَانَ كَيْفَ يَكُونُ. That is amazing. Here's the translation of it. Allah knows that which has been, which means the past. And Allah knows the future. And Allah knows whatever has happened, whatever is going to happen. Whatever is happening. Okay? Those three. Is there a fourth to it? Can anyone tell me if there is a fourth to that? Allah knows what happened, what is going to happen, and what is happening now. Yes, what's the fourth, sister? What? What could happen. Okay, you've worded it differently, but it's correct. Allah knows what is not going to happen. If it were to happen, how it would have happened. Allahu Akbar. I didn't marry this guy, but if I did, I would have had those children. You see, you think it's a silly example, but one day you can ask Allah to show you, if you still remember, by the way. Allah says, what was never going to happen? If it happened, we know how it would have happened. Allahu Akbar, He knows the future. Where do I get this from? I tell you, from Surah Al-Kahf in the Quran. Allah says, this child was never going to live for longer than so many years. Had the child lived, we know that the child would have been disobedient. There goes. You follow? This boat that we caused the sinking of, or not the full sinking of, but damage to, we knew that had it gone forth, without any damage, it was going to be taken away by a tyrant upstream. That's what Surah Al-Kahf says. But Allah knew it was never going to be taken, but had it not had this defect, it would have gone. What does that mean? Something that was not going to happen. Allah knows this is not going to happen, but if it were to happen, we know how it would have happened. Amazing, right? That's the knowledge of Allah. Don't you trust Him? Come on. Don't you trust Him? He knows. May Allah Almighty grant us goodness. Another thing, sometimes we suffer real challenges. Like you might be thinking, okay, you're talking of small things, but I've lost a limb. I've lost a whole leg. I'm now walking on, an artificial leg. Thank Allah, you're living in an age where they can make artificial limbs very, very efficient. Imagine if we were living a few centuries back, what would have happened? When COVID struck, thank Allah that Allah Almighty's made this virus at a time when we have technology to the level where we can zoom and boom, mashallah. How many of us have boomed through Zoom? It's a fact. Businesses have flourished. We've learned new things. Some people have made a killing out of COVID, and some people have been killed by COVID. May Allah grant them Jannah. But it's a fact. My brothers, my sisters, can't you see that Allah blessed us by selecting the right time? I promise you, I was born in 19 something. I'm too old. I stopped counting. So at that time, if we had a disease like COVID where we were locked, we had to book a call with our phones through an operator to call across the border. Imagine. We wouldn't have been in touch with the people. We wouldn't be knowing what's going on. So isn't that a blessing of Allah? You can see each other. Video calling was something that was considered totally unbelievable. Subhanallah, it happened. Not only that, I can tell you, a mobile device where you phone without a wire to the wall was something when I was little was considered a mental illness if someone came up and said that's going to happen. I promise you. Mobile, we only knew cordless phones, which means you have a little, receiver or the base as they call it, and then you have a cordless. I remember we bought one that was about 1,000 meters, which means almost a kilometer. And that was like, oh, wow. My brother, there's going to be a mobile device connected to the satellites up there. Subhanallah. There's going to be internet. What's that? Mind-boggling. I don't know. I wouldn't know. But we lived it, so now we know. Thank Allah. So you see the positives of this negative? There we go. But man looks at what he doesn't have. That's it. And forgets the blessings. We're sitting here today. It's amazing. We get to know each other. How? I come from a corner in the world. And worse than that, it's at the bottom of the alphabet. Subhanallah, if you know where I come from. People forget it. Some forms when we're filling, subhanallah, we actually don't even have my country in the drop down. It doesn't. They forgot it. Because it was the last one, Zimbabwe. Khalas. Say, what's that, by the way? May Allah grant us ease. If you say Britain, it's up there. If you say United Kingdom, it's down there with us. Remember that, close. Allah grant you guys goodness, mashallah. But the point I'm saying is, inshallah, there is goodness. Allah knows. Allah knows. You lose something, He knows. So this child, Allah caused the death of in a certain way. In Surah Al-Kahf mentioned the boat, Allah caused damage to it in a certain way via a certain person known as Al-Khidr. Allah knows why. Then there was a wall in Surah Al-Kahf mentioned of that was about to drop in a town where when the Prophet Moses and his friend Al-Khidr got to, they were quite hungry. They decided to repair the wall. This man decided to repair the wall by an instruction of Allah. And then he asks the people for some form of food or a little bit of hospitality. They refused. Subhanallah. And Musa alayhi salam says, well, you see, if you wanted, you could have been paid for this thing. And the story goes on. But the wall was straightened because Allah knew there was a treasure under there. Had that wall fallen, the treasure would have been exposed and the children whom it belonged to would have lost it to robbers or whoever may have just claimed it. So Allah wanted it to be protected because it belonged to certain people. Don't you think Allah would protect your wealth in a way? Sometimes you lose or you say you miss a flight. You know, I was once not allowed to board a certain flight because I was, perhaps, I wasn't even late. But while they were looking at the papers and the COVID tests and whatever else and so on and so forth, and the door closed and they said, you know what, you're going to have to go on the next flight. I said, no problem. Thank you so much, ma'am. And it's okay. I said, you know what, I'll go out. I'll stay over the night at a hotel. And they were looking at each other, looking at me. And I'm thinking, what are they looking at? The lady says, you know what, you're the first guy who just doesn't get angry. I said, I used to a few years ago. Did it help? Doesn't help. I said, guess what? I look at it the other way. I'm so excited I'm not on the plane. I'm sitting on 3A. Perhaps the person on 3C who was sitting next to me could have had COVID. I just got saved. They say, you're crazy. We saw everybody's tests. You know, they used to say, people are foolish. Why? Because they've got all the social distancing at the airport and then suddenly you're in the plane like sardines. Have you heard that one? So one day I asked, because I was also one of those victims of the media, where I said, guys, you guys are so foolish. Look at you. At the airport, you make us social distance and you get into the plane and we're on top of each other. They said, no. After we check your negative PCR, we allow you to sit next to each other. I said, I felt like a fool after that. But this guy says, no, we've checked them. And I said, even if you've checked them, they take so long to give you the result between the time you were tested and now you could have caught it, right? May Allah grant us ease. So look at it that way. You missed your flight. Maybe something else might have happened. Something silly could have happened. Anything. Allah saved you. But it's not easy to look at it that way all the time. The Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, faced challenge upon challenge. One after the other. He went to Ta'if. You know what happened? They persecuted him there. They threw stones at him. They did so much to him. But he was positive. He said, you know what? If they don't accept this message, their children will. Go to Ta'if today, by the way. Check. Same names. Same tribes. They all Muslims. Mashallah. They've been for decades, centuries, right? You wouldn't believe. Do you know, if you go to Ta'if, it's a beautiful place. It's mountainous. You go there and you hear, this is Thaqif, this is this. And the people are telling you the history. You know, the people who lived here, they persecuted the Prophet. They did this. This is where they threw stones. This is where he went. This is where he sat. So the question to ask them, who persecuted them exactly? Are my great grandfathers. That's the answer. My great grandfathers. Because it's the same tribes. Did you think of it? Subhanallah. But the dua of the Prophet, the positivity, when he said, you know what? Khalid, Allah will bring him. Not 3 days later, he came to Medina and he had a question for the Prophet. Peace be upon him. He says, oh messenger, do you know what I've done? I've committed so much. I've been involved in warfare. I've been involved in this and that. I've committed atrocities and whatever else. I'm here. I'd like to accept your call. I believe in it from the bottom of my heart. I want to worship my maker alone and no one else. But what's going to happen to me? He says, Ya Khalid, innal Islam yajubbu ma qablahu. If you were to declare the Shahada, everything negative you've ever done in your life is automatically deleted. Gone. So it's not the formatting of a hard drive, it's the selective formatting. Because the good remains, the bad goes. The same applies to Tawbah. You know, they say when you go for Hajj and you seek forgiveness, you return as pure as the day you were born. Can I tell you exactly how that is interpreted. Even purer than the day you were born, because what is deleted? Only the bad. What about the tons of good you've done? It remains. It remains. Allah says, we will not waste your good deeds. You did good deeds, they remain. So it's even better. Subhanallah. That's the gift of Allah. I just looked at the clock. It says 45 minutes. Nah, guys, something wrong with the clock here. Do you think 45 minutes passed?
No.
It's 4 to 5 minutes, I think. That's what it says. Yeah. May Allah bless you all. My brothers and sisters, when we know that we're in it together, when we know that we have people who care, when we make people's lives easy, Allah makes our lives easy. When we know that we have a circle or we have someone who cares, it makes life more meaningful. So care for others and see what Allah does for you. There are people who will say, I care for everyone, but I'm the one who's trampled upon. It happens. When you're kind-hearted, people take advantage sometimes. Try to protect yourself by turning to the Almighty. Sometimes Allah Almighty wants to ensure that your intention is pure. So I'm helping you, not because I think you deserve my help, but because I want to impress my Maker. I'm doing it for the pleasure of the Almighty. So the deserving of help is not because of you, it's because of the Almighty. That's why Allah says, Allah loves those who do good. In the Quran, in many places, Wallahu yuhibbul muhsinin. Allah loves those who do good. Because of that, I do good. What do I expect from you? La nuridu minkum jaza'an wala shukura. I don't want you to say thank you, and I'm not expecting any gratitude from you. If it comes, it's a bonus. When I do good, I'm doing it for the pleasure of Allah. Did Allah see it? Yes, He did. What are you going to do as a result? You're going to harm me. That's why if you notice, who harms us? Sometimes those we've been kind and good to all our lives. They're the ones who stab us with a dagger that is actually rounded and pointed, and they turn it in our backs, and then they take it off and rip a chunk off our backs. And we really find it difficult to breathe. Sorry to be so graphic. But you know what I mean. It's hard. That's because Allah's testing you. Did you do it for me or for them? If you did it for them, they're going to let you down. If you did it for me, your reward is packed away. It's done. You will see it in your life and in the next. Allah will give you, as a result of your patience that you bore because of people being nasty with you, Allah gave you children who are the coolness of your eyes. Allah gave you something grand. Allah gave you good health. Allah gave you perhaps good looks. Allah might have given you something, but He gives everyone something. It's up to you to recognize the favor of Allah upon you. May Allah Almighty keep us steadfast. May Allah Almighty bless every one of us and grant us goodness. I promise you I could have gone on tonight. But inshallah, you know, we have a program to abide by. I'm just a guest here. And mashallah, because of my presence here, the brothers always ask me to say a few words, and I'm always obliging. But I think there is the rest of the program. I'm here for a dinner. I don't know about you guys. Barakallahu feekum. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.